Luke chapter 21. I want to share for a few moments on, are you spiritually prepared for His coming? I know this is a repeated phrase, but I think it's a necessary repeated phrase. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. I want to say it again. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready for His coming? The Bible says we need to be ready for His return. The Bible's very clear about that. And we can see what's happening in the world today is a preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so close. You know, everything has been fulfilled. The Bible promises have all been fulfilled. We are just waiting for His return. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, but watch yourselves. You know, that's a good phrase, right? Watch yourselves. Lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. But notice it mentions one more thing. And the cares of this life. Dissipation is talking about a wasting of time. A wasting of time in things that are carnal and fleshly. The Bible says, don't waste your time with those things and all the cares of life that can pile in upon us and get our mind off of Jesus. How many know that's the devil's ploy, is to get our mind and hearts off of Jesus? Can somebody say amen this morning? That is the goal of the devil, is to get our hearts and minds off of Jesus. You know, this I must tell you, that driving down the street, the main street of Creston on Friday, I saw all these people protesting climate change. Climate change. Did you see the people protesting? Climate change. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be good stewards of the things that God has so graciously given to us. But friends, we need more than a protest about climate change. We need a change of heart and mind towards God Almighty. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting that they let the schools out to protest climate change. I wonder if they would allow the students a day off to protest abortion. That's my question. We see that we are on the precipice of the entrance of the Antichrist and all that the book of Revelation talks about. So we need to be spiritually prepared. The Bible says here, and that day come upon you suddenly. Suddenly. That means you're not expecting it. It just shows up. You weren't ready. It says, like the English Standard Version says, like a trap. In other words, Things are happening. The cares of life are pouring in. Your mind is on all the things that are happening in your life. You've taken your eyes off of Jesus. You've taken your mind off the things of God, and suddenly Jesus comes back. The Bible says, "For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth." And again, the Bible repeats itself. "But stay awake at all times." All times. When you're having a good day or whether you're having a bad day, you still have to stay awake spiritually. You have to. It's important. And then the word that I love the most, praying that you may have strength. Prayer brings Holy Ghost strength to the believer. Can somebody shout amen this morning? That's why Satan doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to gather and pray. Every time you decide not to pray, the devil's in his pit having a party. Because he knows when you pray, God pours into you of the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He hates prayer. He even wants you to be busy doing good things, as long as you're not praying. So prayer strengthens you. And the Bible says to escape all these things that are going to take place. You think it's bad now? We haven't seen anything yet. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this earth. I wish all the preachers on TV and around the world would have a wake-up call to prepare God's people for the end times. The Bible says here to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Bible says it's appointed unto everyone to die and then to face judgment. That's what the Bible says, right? Go over to Luke chapter 12, verse 19. We're talking about preparing yourself for the end times. Things are not going to get easier. They're going to get more difficult. Can I say it again? Things are not going to get easier. They are going to get more difficult. There is coming, I pray not now, but it is coming, persecution. The church is going to face persecution. Recently, a group of evangelicals decided to do a march in Toronto. One of those that led the march, I know, one of the pastors, one of them is a street preacher who was arrested for preaching the gospel on the streets of Toronto. And they were going to do a march into the gay village of Toronto, simply declaring their right to free speech. And you know what the You know what the mayor of Toronto did? He joined a rally in favor of all the homosexuals and lesbians and transgender people to oppose the march. The head of this evangelical march says, we don't hate anybody, but we believe as Christians we have the right to free speech. Hello? Do you know that those rights are slowly eroding away in our fair country? Prime Minister Trudeau said today that part of his policy platform is to make conversion therapy a crime. Even if a young person wants to change, they will not be allowed to do that. They will not be allowed to receive counsel in that regard. Friends, our rights are eroding away in this country. It's because we are getting closer and closer to the tribulation when the Antichrist will be in charge and there will be a one world government and a one world religion. And a lot of Christians are just sleeping. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. How many know that most people are only concerned about themselves? How they can get ahead. How they can make more money and build bigger barns. You know, I have to ask you the question. I think that a lot of these political parties must have money trees growing in their backyard. Because I don't know where they're getting all the money to do all of these promises. Why don't they just give us all $1 million and get it over with? I'm serious. That's only what? $32 billion? Give us all $1 million and just get it over with. Friends, we are so far in debt. But all this man was thinking about was building larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And here's the problem. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. I don't have to worry about anything. The government will take care of me. What do you got to worry about? The government will take care of you. Don't worry about it. Whatever problem that you have, the government will solve that problem for you. He said, I have ample goods laid up for many years. What does he say to his soul? Soul, relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. No concern for the things of God. No concern about serving God. on the precipice of the coming of Jesus Christ, and I'm just going to sit back and relax and enjoy my life. You know, a lot of people think that way. Hello, someone. Wave your hand if you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people, that's how they're thinking. And what does God say? God says to him, fool. You know what? We don't know. Unless God speaks to you, you don't know when your time's up. But you know God knows when your time's up. And I don't care what kind of drug they give you. If your time's up, your time's up. Are you hearing me? I heard about a lady that escaped a mass shooting in a mall in Toronto, only to go down, I think it was Oklahoma, and die in another mass shooting. I thought to myself, she escaped one, but she couldn't escape the second because her time was up. People think that they can just live as long as they want. I hear this all the time. I'll accept Jesus on my deathbed. How do you know you'll have enough time to accept Christ on your deathbed? If you're in an instant accident and your life is snatched from you in a second, you have no time to call out to God. Not everybody lingers for weeks in palliative care. Some people's lives are snatched from them in a moment's time. God said, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Wow, that, I don't know about you, but that shakes me. That shakes me to the core. That in this parable, God decided that his time was up. And he had all of these plans. But his plans came to nothing because God said, your time is up. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Somebody else's. But look at verse 21, because this is the important verse. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself. Emphasis on himself. Hello? And is not rich toward God. Friends, if God blesses you, you need to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. If you are blessed financially, be a blessing to others. Be a blessing to the kingdom of heaven. We can have so many plans, but it's God's will that's going to make it. That's what's important. It's God's will. Glorifying Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I'm giving you a lot of scripture this morning because I want you to have the word. We need to understand in a spiritual sense how close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ. And if what I'm saying is true, and I believe it is, it ought to change how we live. It ought to change how we live. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, a treasure is something that you think a lot about. It can be anything, really, a treasure. How many know that some people's garbage is someone else's treasure? That's why we have garage sales. What? Look at that piece of Tupperware. I don't know why I said that, but it just came out. How many know that people go from garage sale to garage? You know what they do? They go from garage sale to garage sale. They collect things. They take them to their house and they sell them to other people. It's true. I've just unveiled something this morning. They just go from garage sale to garage sale. They drive. When I was in Toronto, they used to drive along the street. I'd put something out on the street. 3 seconds, it was gone. Listen, I would go out and put it on the curb, right? I'd turn around to head towards the house. It's gone! How did they do that? I didn't even see the car drive up. Sometimes I wanted to do that with my dog. But that's what they used to do, drive up and down the streets collecting things that people put on the curb, and then they have a website and they sell it to other people. And people will pay top dollar for something that somebody else picked up on the side of the road. A treasure can be anything that you can't do without. That you consider important to you. That if there was a fire, you'd get that thing out first. Before anything else. I said this before, this woman considered her chicken more important than her husband. True story. And the reporter asked the woman, in case of a fire, who would you get out first? She hesitated for a minute and she said emphatically, the chicken. I'm pointing at John. I don't know why. I guess the chicken can lay eggs. The husband can't do nothing, right? Do nothing around the house. For her treasure was her chicken. But you know, it can be anything. What is it that's important to you that if God said, I want you to give it away, you'd be willing to do it? Something that you think a lot about is a treasure. Something that occupies your time and your efforts and all of your thinking and strength, something that just, you know, I just need it. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. Do I hear an amen this morning? Where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now look at this last verse because it's very important. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is the things of God, that's where your heart's going to be. My dad used to tell me that he thought about God most of the day. He was thinking about God, thinking about Jesus, thinking about who he was going to witness to next. What do we think about? That's where our heart is at. That gives us a capsule of what God is really after in our lives. What we consider important. That if God comes knocking at your door and says, I want you to give this up, it's taking your heart away from me, you would be willing to surrender it. Because you know what? That car that we buy, especially if it's a Ford, is going to rust away. Come on, it's the truth, isn't it? Whatever we have, that beautiful sweater or whatever it is, it just begins to deteriorate. Whatever we have, it's so special to us. But when my in-laws, when their house burnt down, and I've said this before, I want to say it again. When their house burnt down to the ground, and I do have to say this about my wife's parents, didn't seem to bother them. One thing that was left was a little white Gideon New Testament. And she still has it, doesn't she? That little white New Testament was one of the few things that was left after her house burned to the ground. Friends, that tells you something. Are you hearing me? The word of God is going to last forever. Hallelujah. The words of flesh will wither and die, but God's word will last forever. Hallelujah. So when it comes down to the second coming of Jesus Christ, when it comes down to preparing ourselves for the end times, there's nothing that we shouldn't be willing to give up in order to be closer to God. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is going to be. One last scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Talking about preparing yourself for the end times. You know, people come to me all the time and say, I love Jesus. Right? Not in this church, but other churches. Come to me, I love Jesus. I'll see you on Sunday. I'm too busy. I can't be there. I'll see a Bible study. I'm too busy. I can't be there. I'll see a prayer. I'm too busy. I can't be there. What are you doing? Building a garage. I've made a commitment to join my friend at the casino every night. I'm at the horse races. I'm at a birthday party. I don't know. They're somewhere doing something. I don't know what they're doing. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. Man, I'm seeking. That's not good enough. Tear it down. Build something new. I gotta have it. I can't be happy until I have it. But our happiness is not tied to the things we possess. Our joy comes from the Lord. Can somebody shout amen this morning? Our joy comes from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. And then the key verse I'm closing with. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what's important. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. His holiness. It's talking about seeking Him. Hallelujah. Following after God. Now, I know none of us are perfect. There could be a few here. God knows we're human. We fumble around. We make mistakes. We don't read the instructions because we think we can do it ourselves. We make a bigger mess of it. Then we go back to the instruction manual. That's what I do. My wife always reads the instruction manual. I say, we don't need to worry about that. We can figure it out. 2 hours later, I still don't know how to put that thing together. She's reading the instruction book. She puts it together in 10 minutes. How many know we're frail? We're frail. God knows that. But our heart is what He's after, folks. He's after your heart and my heart to be hungering and thirsting after Him. Hallelujah. Because when it's all said and done, all that's going to matter is your and my relationship with God. Now, I'm going to end by saying this. I love you. No, I got to say one more thing. We don't know if we're going to have to go through none of the tribulation or some of the tribulation or all of the tribulation. I would like to say that we won't have to go through any of it. Isn't that nice? Doesn't that make you feel better? But no one knows for sure, and no commentator, and even our fellowship is changing its thinking on when the rapture is going to happen. So we don't know for sure. So if we have to go through some of it, we're going to need our roots deep into the soil of God's Word, and we're going to have to know Him. We're going to have to know Him intimately. Are you hearing me this morning? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what? I've gotten so many things that I never even asked for. Did you know that? I very seldom pray about my needs. Very seldom. I'm praying about other people's needs, and God just seems to miraculously meet mine. Are you hearing me this morning? It's amazing what God can do because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Can somebody shout amen this morning? He owns it all. All the resources are His, at His disposal at any time.
God's going to take care of you. If you seek first the kingdom of God, he's going to take care of you. And he's going to take care of me. And he's going to take care of your little ones. He's going to make a way for you. He is going to crush Satan under our feet. All we got to do is put him first. And friends, it's time to get ready, if you're not already ready, because he's coming soon. And you're going to hear that a lot from this pulpit. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. Will you bow your heads this morning?